I'd like to just share a few thoughts with you tonight about a winning testimony, a winning witness, literally, and remind you, hitchhiking on past discussions, that we win because he won. So when we consider 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16 through verse 22, it provides for us some food for thought on a winning witness. Now, the premise is laid on Scripture. I'll give you two of many before we look at 1 Corinthians 9. You know that you have an ironclad guarantee of winning when you witness to people. For example, the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 48 would remind us that there, when the Gentiles heard this, the gospel, the word of God, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. Ironclad guarantee of a winning witness. Add to that Romans chapter 8, very well-known passage that begins at verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Just two places in Scripture that remind us that God's decree has gone forward. He has determined the end of human activities, decisions, and choices. However, there is the human factor that must be given great consideration. And while he did not have to yoke up with us to witness of his grace to anybody, he chose for whatever reason to do that. So in 1 Corinthians 9, keep in mind that we win because he won. At verse number 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now there is that Holy Spirit compulsion, that nudging of the Spirit of God in the heart of every child of God concerning this matter of preaching the gospel, even as it was with the Apostle Paul, so it is with you and me. Necessity is laid upon us. And it is not only in our interests, but in the best interests of the people who would hear, to hear the good news of the gospel. And then we see that in verse number 17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. And for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Now, verse 20, it picks up, or uses a word five times at the very least, from which we get our theme tonight of a winning witness. In verse 20, for example, or back up to verse 19, end of verse 19, though I be free from all men, I have made myself servant to all that I might, next word is gain, synonymous with win, that I might, we can easily, without doing damage to the text, we can easily win there. I've made myself a servant, that I might gain the more. Then verse 20, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. One and the same people. to gain or to win them. And by that he means to say that if there was a gray area, or if there was a inconsequential matter of the law that was observed by scrupulous Jews of his day, he would, for the sake of going along to get along, go right along with them. However, when it would come to an insistence on their part that there had to be works associated with the grace in the gospel, there's where he would draw the line. He would not concede that. And there are some instances in the book of Acts where he did just that, and his traveling companions went right along with him and did the same thing. And the idea is that when I have that opportunity with the Jew, and in order to gain his ear, I'm going to be a Jew. He goes on to say in verse 21, to them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might, next word again, is gain. So we're talking Jew, Gentile. Them that are without the law. It's not those, I mean, the Greek word oftentimes is used to depict a wicked person. And I suppose that, you know, the barbarian would fit that profile. But essentially, in a general sense, he's talking about the Gentile. That when I'm with the Gentile, I'm going to conduct myself as a Gentile, except in those matters that run contrary to God's law. There are a lot of things that Gentiles and Jews alike hold dear to themselves that are inconsequential left or right. And in those areas, they're, you know, if your desire is to be a help to them and you can extend a little bit of latitude there toward them with the eternal interest in view, it's always a wise thing. He said, so in verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, I come back to that weak. And of course, you remember the apostles' charge to the Romans. I think it's in chapter 15, verse 1. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Speaking of the weak who have not a clearly defined conscience on certain matter of doctrinal scruples. They're feeble. You know, they can teeter-totter either way, you know. But he said, where I'm in the presence of the weak, I became as weak that I might gain. And now his motive, whether it's Jew, Gentile, or the conscientiously feeble, his motive is to gain, to win. In each case, to win. A winning testimony. Now the premise now, keep in mind. Acts 13, 48, Romans chapter 8, verse 30, other places just like it. All that is required of you and me is that we sow the seed. Water it when we can. That's all that's required. That in the course of conversing with a Jew or a Gentile or someone who is weak, as it is described here, that there are ample efforts made, led by the Spirit, to persuade, to convince, but never to paint a person into a corner so as to win a theological argument and prove your point. And when you have done your persuading and you've done your, you've exercised due diligence when it comes to presenting a logical apologetic for the case that you're making about the gospel, then you back up. The seed's planted. Now keep in mind, God has made a promise that when His word goes forth, it will prosper in the thing for which it was intended. So we have that great assurance. Now, we go back again to the other side of this. On verse number 17, there are two things here in this same portion of Scripture that we need to call attention to with regard to a winning witness. It requires, if we look at verse 17, drawing from the word willingly, there is a spirit of volunteerism. Paul, the apostle, was not beaten into submission so as to preach the gospel. He did it willingly. Here he says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. And essentially, he goes on to say here that, backing up to that 16th verse, necessity is laid upon me. I can't help myself. It's not something that I have to think through. It is something that is automatic. It's innate. Necessity is laid upon me. But if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. And we read on. There is, of course, slave-like service that has to be given consideration. But going back to the idea of the volunteer, please see in verse 18 where he says, what is my reward then when I preach the gospel, I may make voluntary the gospel of Christ without charge. Without charge. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. And then in verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant, doulos, a slave to all, that I might, for what reason? Gain the more. So when you think about the word willingly, in the 18th verse, without charge, and in verse 19, I made myself, literally he did it, I made myself a slave. It is sort of like that the depiction in the Old Testament where a man has served his tenure with his master, and he has a couple of choices to make. He can, aside from the fact that if he's had a wife and children, and he decides to leave his master's estate, he must leave everything behind. If, however, he decides to stay, he voluntarily commits himself as a servant, as a slave to the master, and his family remains intact. He does that willingly. But so as to make it a permanent transaction, a legal binding transaction, and all is driven through the man's ear as an indication that he's made that decision voluntarily. And that's the spirit that we find right here. So when we think about the word gain, we think about the word win. And when I come back up to verse number 22, to the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak, that I am made all things to all men. And then it says there, and this is, please catch this, that by all means, Christ honoring, of course, by all means, save some. There's the vision. You have the spirit of the volunteer at verse 17. You have the vision there in verse number 22. Save some. And here's the reality. The word some is not all. However we might wish, not even the Lord Jesus presented all. Nor will he at the end. There will be people who inhabit hell. That's on them. Your goal and mind as volunteers, as slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ, operate with a vision that by all means Christ honoring, we might save some. That God would use us to point people to the cross, to the Savior who hung there, to the reality of His resurrection and His promised return, and to the forgiveness of sins, and the sure promises of God. He chooses to use you and me as a winning witness. Now, when it comes back to the suggestion of all things, on Sunday evening, I'd like to present a grand plan for God's people, which will present an overview of a comprehensive plan for ministry for the balance of this year on into 2017 as we together would hold forth the word of life. And it is my hope, prayerful expectation, that with the cooperation of the people of Grace Baptist Church and our friends who attend here, that we will be able to scatter the seed by every means available through the World Wide Web, over the internet, through the old traditional printed literature distribution and a number of other creative ways in order to get one thing into as many people's hearts as possible. that every communication that will from this point go out of this church, whether on printed literature, whether it is by spoken word, there will be at least some small snippet of the seed of the gospel always, always linked to the address on the webpage or the mailing address of this church, whereby people who see that, spurred by the Spirit of God, may be able to resort to. But whether that is a one-time only view, at least one thing is true. The person who reads it, whether they receive it or not, the seed has been planted and God's purpose will be fulfilled. And so Sunday night, I'd like to detail some things about this overview of a plan, and then as the church would sanction such, move forward with it. And I'd like you to pray about that as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Day to come. The 10 o'clock hour, the 11 o'clock hour, and the evening as well. So do some thinking, do some praying, and give consideration to this. And let me conclude with this idea about a winning witness. When in my first week under the employ of the Prudential Insurance Company, there was a week of intensive training after all the book learning was done. Thank God. But this was all conversational, hands-on stuff. The first thing I learned was that whenever you are representing the company in the home of one of its constituents, whenever you see a family that has a specific financial need or an insurance need, make sure that you present the case and don't forget to do the most important thing of all. And the most important thing of all is to ask them to buy. So when I heard that, I thought, you know, I don't like somebody trying to separate me from my pocketbook. I don't know anybody that does. And I really had a problem with that. But the truth of the matter is that those who didn't make it the first 3 months on their probationary period departed because they never could jump over that hurdle. And the reason why, as it was pointed out, and nobody said this during the training, the reason why was that when you view a client as a means to an end, you will treat them like a means to an end. If you view your client as a person with needs, a human being with real needs that require some prudent advice, you give the advice, you leave the decision with them, but don't forget to ask them to make a decision. And the people who left prior to their probationary period were always trying to look at how their actions would put money in their pocket. And so they were selling things that were inappropriate, too expensive, and clearly, as was borne through by the underwriter of the company, they were not even qualified to own. And so application after application after application would be rejected. They go home discouraged. He would, gee, I got them to sign on the dotted line. Why doesn't the company authorize the contract? Well, because it was inappropriate. And the reason it was inappropriate is because the agent went in there looking to make a buck for himself rather than serve the best interest of the people that he was supposed to be serving. And so when it comes to spiritual things, the same thing is true. We don't look at the people that we will converse with about the gospel as a number or as a notch that we add on our gospel pistol. We look at them as human beings that are going to either spend their eternity in hell or in heaven. And there's only one simple direct road to heaven, and that's by way of the cross through Jesus Christ. Somewhere along the line during the course of the conversation, don't be afraid to ask. Why not buy something that's completely free of charge? What do you got to lose? And so when you get to that point, make sure you tell them what it is they have to lose. Do I make a case? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be together tonight. We pray, Lord, for your blessings upon all, not only tonight, but as we finish out our week, that our thoughts might always begin with you, might always stay upon you during the course of the day and end with you. Prepare us, Lord, as we gather on this weekend as the church family to worship. May we be able to learn, perhaps like we have never before learned, what it is to truly worship in spirit and in truth. Help us in this for Jesus' sake. Amen.